Welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Bless America.
I think you should just like go around to hospitals and make people walk.
You are the pride of America tonight.
And with that great introduction, welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. Old Hillbilly here, along with my co-host Beth Ann, the co-director of K1 Girls Camp. And you've heard me brag on Beth Ann again and again and again. And if you're new to this podcast, you'll recognize Beth Ann's charm and her talent. But today, it's about worship. And our guest today is my friend Nadia Yates. And Beth Ann, as you could hear from the introduction, Nadia has had quite a career in music. That was her as a nine-year-old on America's Got Talent. And she wowed the judges that day, and she wowed the audience that day. When this little girl opens her mouth, the voice of an angel comes out of her, and it just rivets you how beautiful her gift is and how she uses it. And so from the America's Got Talent and being in the top five that year and having some fame and success after that, Nadia and her two brothers came to Branson, and that's where I met her. They did a show in Branson for several years, and then Nadia has been more recently doing her own show at Andy Williams Theater, a great Christmas show, and this Christmas at Silver Dollar City, she did a series of shows, and now she leads worship in our church.
Well, Nadia, what an exciting journey that you've been on from America's Got Talent to then coming to Branson and being a part of the entertainment world here and now leading at a local church. But I am dying to hear from you. What was it like as a nine-year-old girl to be singing on national television for none other than the infamous Simon Cowell? What was that like?
Oh my gosh, it was surreal because, like you guys said, I was 9 years old at the time. And so being a fifth grader on America's Got Talent, you thought, you're like, this is a big deal, you know? And so, and I have the hugest crush on Nick Cannon too. So
so that didn't
the
hurt.
The fact that he was like, he was the host and I was like right next to him. I was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, but the fact, I think it was also just like, okay, like this is actually happening. Like, ever since I was a little girl, I've dreamed on being on TV and being an actress and a singer and a dancer. And it became reality at a young age. And so it was amazing.
So you sing in front of Simon Cowell. And again, you say that's just a surreal experience. And then as a nine-year-old girl, you make the top five. Tell us, what was that like when you heard your name called and just being a part of that group?
Top five. It was, I can't even like recall, just like I was so in shock, you know, when they said, you know, that we made fifth place and like confetti went all over the place. And you know, it was actually, it was a really amazing moment, and I was just proud of my brothers and I, because you know, for us being that young and making it that far on America's Got Talent, that spoke volumes. And so it was just a really like shocking moment, but they do have you, because the fact that you didn't make first place, they have like people on standby for like if you need like emotional support and all that stuff. But in reality, I looked at my dad and I was like, I was a little sad, you know. I was like, man, we didn't make it first place. But at the end, it's like, we made it this far and we're from a small town in New York. And so this just speaks like we did it, you know.
And so Nadia, I've been blessed to have a very special connection with you. I feel like your second grandpa or something like that. But
yeah,
you know, we got to travel together several times and we got to watch the Lord do some amazing things on college campuses as we got to build the cross and lead the students to Christ. What was that tour like for you?
Oh, wow. Just to be alongside you, Joe, it was surreal. Like I keep on saying that because all the opportunities that God has given me, it doesn't even seem real. The fact that I get to sing and glorify and worship God while also seeing you change lives and a bunch of college students, and it was just the beginning. When you invited me out on the road, it was just the beginning because I saw what God was doing. And at that moment, I knew that, you know, far from me performing on stage and singing secular music and stuff like that, I knew that God had me at worship.
And then today, you and I are part of a really cool hillbilly church here in Branson, Missouri, that just has exploded over the last few years. And we love our pastor, and you get to lead worship on stage, and I get to be out there somewhere in that large crowd, and I get to cheer for you, and I get to watch you. And like I said, I feel like your grandpa. I'm always so proud of you. But now you just, you know, worship is your thing. It's your heart. It's your life. So talk about the way the Lord uses you to worship.
Wow. I can't even, like, I get speechless and I kind of get teary-eyed when I talk about worship, because growing up, when we performed in Branson, I sang everything from pop, jazz, soul, and gospel. And I was actually leaning towards secular music at the time when I was kind of searching my music career. And like I said, when I started traveling with you, Joe, I really felt a heart of worship. And it really had to, like, I had to fall and get back up to realize that that's where God wanted me. And with worship, I realized that God has given me a gift, and I don't want to take it for granted. And I want to be able to glorify Him with that gift. And so every time I get on stage, I have to realize who gave me this gift. And if He was in front of me, how would I worship Him? And so every time I lead a church in a service, or even if I'm just singing a solo, I realize that, like, if no one else was in the room and it was just Jesus, how would I give it all to Him? And so that's kind of where I keep my mindset when I worship God.
You basically just answered what I wanted to hear from you next, Nadia, was, you know, how do you keep your, you know, focus on Jesus during worship? How do you keep that vertical? Because I would assume that, you know, because of the talent that you do have, that there would be temptation there to care what people thought about your voice, or, you know, really wanting to sound good and, you know, letting that kind of carry you away in your thoughts and not focusing on the Lord. So tell us again, how do you keep your worship just centered on God and keeping that vertical?
Yeah. So I would say also, like, growing up in the spotlight, you have this sense of, how do I say it without saying weird, have this entitlement. You know, you're on stage, you feel like I'm a people pleaser also, and that's something that God freed me from. But, like, pleasing people that is not God. You know, you're like, how did my voice sound? Or how did I do this? How did I do that? It has to start with your quiet time with God. Because at the end, the only person and the only thing that really matters is how you're glorifying God. And I listened to a lot of Stephanie Gretzinger, and there's just one thing that she said recently was saying, like, it's not your desire, it's God's desires for your life. And so I had to come and I had to be humbled. God humbled me, the humble check, because He's like, Nadia, like, I gave you the gift and I can always take it away. And so in that moment when I'm worshiping Christ, you know, it starts before I even go on stage, it starts from my quiet time with Jesus and it carries over. I mean, even this past Sunday, I was worshiping and I was like, who am I truly worshiping? You know, am I worshiping God, or am I just putting on a show for people? And sometimes you have to check yourself. It's a daily reminder of what are you doing it for, who you're worshiping, and how do you move forward with your life to glorify Christ?
Nadia, just in your own personal walk with Jesus, when you're not on stage and it's just you before the Lord and you with the Word of God in your lap, how do you keep your heart in a place of worship on a daily basis?
It goes back to quiet time with God. You know, when you're daily feeding yourself the Word, and when you're daily feeding yourself things that are of God, and not putting things, it's a daily battle for me, when you're not putting things that are of this world, because God says put things that are too lovely, think of these things. And so constantly I'm the one, I have to think, okay, God, like, how do you want me to start my day? But also a day of gratitude. You know, you wake up in the morning being thankful. You wake up in the morning knowing that every day is a gift. And so for me to set my heart in worship, I have to get in the Word and, like, spend really quality time with God, and not just 20 minutes a day, you know, probably an hour a day, or even just throughout the day, just praying continually and worshiping Christ. Because, you know, when you're leading people into worship, that is a huge opportunity and a huge gift that God doesn't give everyone. And so you have to really set your heart, prepare your heart for what God has. And so it's a daily thing of, it's a daily thing of just like really, really making sure that you're in the Word and you're feeding things that are not, feeding yourself things that are just of God constantly and not of this world, if that answers your question.
I love that, because we all in the church know, as we are a part of the worship service each Sunday, when you're leading, that you're not singing, but you're worshiping. And it's very evident, Nadia, that you're worshiping during that portion of our church service. And by the way, you also sing. It's not that you're a singer worshiping, but you're a worshiper who also sings. I love and I appreciate that about you. And so I was reading, Beth Ann, recently about a well-known worship song that most of us in the Christian community know and have probably sung in our churches on Sunday morning. And it's called The Heart of Worship by Matt Redman. And I was reading that Matt was a part of a church in a community in England called Watford. And it was in the, back in the 1990s. And the church was in a period of apathy. And they were struggling to find meaning. And Matt recalls about that time that the pastor got rid of the sound system and the band, and he decided it would be voices only. He said, "We'd lost our way in worship, and the way to get back to worship was to strip everything else away." And now the song is coming to mind, isn't it, folks? He said, "When you come through the doors on Sunday," the pastor said, "what are you going to bring to God?" Great question, huh, Beth Ann?
Great question.
What are you going to bring to God when you come to the church on Sunday? And he goes on to say, as we gained a new perspective that worship is all about Jesus, and he commands us a response in the depth of our souls, no matter what the circumstances and setting, the heart of worship simply describes what occurred. And so he wrote these well-known words, "When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring to you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search for much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus." Yeah. So, Nadia, when people point to your gift and talent, you always seem to duck the limelight and praise, and you seem to duck the limelight and praise and get out of the way and, well, just keep it God-focused. I love the way you keep it God-focused.
When I love that song, I love the song Heart of Worship, because even it said, like, when the music fades, like, at the end of the day, like, if it's just, and I always think to myself, if, you know, even with me being at my house, I'm like, okay, God, like, how can I worship you today, Lord? How can I glorify you? Because when everything, like, if I had nothing, like, if I had no house, if I had no car, if I had no food on my table, how can I still worship you, God? And I always think of that, you know, and it's like when everything fades, God, when every worldly thing fades, because at the end of the day, the only thing that's worthy and the only thing that means more to me and more should mean more to everyone else is Jesus. And so I could still thank God even for the little things, you know. And so when it comes to worship, I always think, like I said before, I always think, if it was Jesus right in front of me, and how would I react? You know, would I just like run up to him? Would I like, you know, jump him and hug him? In reality, I would be speechless and I would fall to my knees. And so every time I sing worship, I think of that. It's like, okay, God, like, I'm letting all my selfish desires, I'm letting everything in my mind go, all the distractions, and really focusing on why I'm really worshiping you and giving it all to you. And so that's why I love that song Heart of Worship too, because it's like you're letting everything go and just really focusing on the one true God.
Well, as we were coming into this conversation today, Nadia and Joe, you know, I was thinking about What are maybe some of the conditions of the heart that we want to look at as we enter into worship? And, you know, the first thing that the Lord just put on my heart was, well, first, we've got to have redeemed hearts. Yeah. Worship that comes from an unregenerated heart is just going to be vain and unacceptable to God. And 2 Timothy 2:26 says, you know, there comes a point where we have to come to our senses, where we are mm-hmm. released from the snare of the evil one. And so first, it's even just asking ourselves, have I been redeemed? Have I put my faith in Christ? And then from there, as we've talked about, what is the attitude of my heart as I enter into worship? And we've talked about it. It is so easy to be focused on ourselves, to think yeah. proudly of ourselves mm-hmm. and to kind of have that boastful pride of life. And so we have to ask ourselves, who's at the center of my worship? Yeah. You know, Hebrews 12:28 talks about having reverence and awe when we enter into worship. And if I'm honest, you know, a lot of times as I walk into church or I'm even just worshiping in the car or at my house, I don't know that I get into a posture of reverence. And I think, you know, God is calling us to truly know him so that we mm-hmm. can experience the fullness of worship. Because when we know God, our love for him grows. Man, when we love him, our fellowship and our desire to worship him for what he's done for us continues to grow. And so it's like you said, we don't just sing songs to worship, but we've got to spend time in God's word, getting to know him so that our mm-hmm. our worship is genuine and we are truly thankful for who he is and what he's done. And, you know, I love so many Psalms I could bring up, but I was even just thinking about Psalm 100 today, just talking about shout joyfully to the Lord and entering into his gates with thanksgiving and knowing that he is Lord. And it talks about what he's done for us. And so we've got to work through, what's the attitude of my heart? Am I putting my focus on God and in remembering what he's done and who he is and keeping my eyes on him and not ourselves? And then the last thing I was thinking about is just a purified heart. I think yeah. most Sundays as I'm standing in church, I always just have to take some time just to honestly confess sin. Or mm-hmm. to confess in that moment, like, Lord, I am distracted right now. I am looking around the room and I'm, you know, thinking about what are people thinking about me? And I'm looking at what they're wearing and how this person sounds and what I've got to do later on today. And, you know, as I start to read and just kind of say those words of songs, you know, just kind of going through the motions, a lot of times the Holy Spirit just stops me and is like, hey, step back for a moment. You need to confess right now. Your heart's not here. Or, hey, there's some sin in your life that are putting up some barriers and walls of worship. And so, you know, I love Psalm 51 that just talks about, you know, create in me a clean heart, you know, examine me, Lord. And so I think that's an element too that we have to remember is as we go into a time of honoring God and worshiping him and proclaiming to him who he is, that he also desires that we would come in humbled, confessing yeah. sin and acknowledging, you know, our need for forgiveness. And I think after we've done that and we've set our hearts and our eyes on him, we do genuinely yeah. get to enter into a time where we can worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love when you said like dying to yourself, because it's a constant battle where you have to die to yourself, because in the long run, it just, you know, when you die to yourself, I feel like when that's when really God just like opens up so much inside of you. And even like you said, how like sometimes like the first couple minutes when you're in worship, you're thinking about what am I wearing, or if people like the worship, or, you know, how do I sound next to someone? In that, I feel like that's a constant battle for me, because at the end of the day, no one's caring about what's going on with me. You know, they're here to receive what God has for them. And even with worship for me, you know, even though I'm leading people in worship, you know, I'm worshiping Christ for myself. So the three services that I sing at churches or any like women's conferences or whatever, it's for me as well, because I'm constantly having to confess my sins and having to die to myself, because in the long run, it's all God. It's nothing that I have is mine. It's all Christ.
So Joe, talk to us now just about meditation and just how that even plays into worship.
Yeah, Beth Ann, as we wrap up such a wonderful experience today with Nadia, I just would say to all of us who don't sing as well as Nadia, of which I am one of those, I play the harmonica because I can't sing, but the Bible fortunately opens the door to worship every time we open the book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible, although you need to read it, it never says, read me. And though it's great to study it, it never says, study me. That sounds like a college course, Beth Ann. But it does say, delight in me. The Bible says, treasure me. The Bible says, cling to me. The Bible says, hold me. The Bible says, keep me. And so I believe there's a big intimacy factor that's wrapped into God and our relationship through Scripture. And so worship is a part of opening the book, but the cream of Scripture is what the Bible asks us and commands us 23 times, and that is to meditate on the Word. And I found over 50 years ago the joy and the gift of what I call M&Ms, memorizing and meditating the Scriptures. And I was challenged to memorize it by the chapter and by the book. And that has been just for a kind of a beginner. I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar by any means, but it's just a beginner in the area of biblical knowledge that memorizing Scripture and meditating on it is worship. And if you've got a pencil and you're looking for a deeper walk with Jesus as you're listening to this podcast, and you want to just jot down about six numbers, they're all from the Psalms, and they're all David's, they're all what I call David's more worshipful of all of his worship Psalms. You can scribble down Psalm 16. If you like intimacy with Jesus, you can scribble down Psalms 23 and Psalms 30 and 31 and 32. And 34, and 46, and 51, and 84, and 91. And then put a big circle around 103. That's my favorite. That's nighttime on the pillow time. And then 139, and finally 143. And as I said, they're all great, but those or where you can delight the most delightfully and treasure with the greatest treasure. And you can keep and hold and meditate in the dearest sense. And as Joshua 1:8 says, if you'll meditate on God's word day and night, you'll be blessed in whatever you do. And as Psalms 1 says, as you meditate on God's word day and night in everything you do, you'll prosper. Who doesn't want that, Beth Ann? Mm.
So true. And, you know, I think listeners, as we do wrap this up, that is our encouragement to you today, that you would meditate on the words of Scripture so that you might know the God of the universe who loves you and is drawing you in and inviting you to worship and to fellowship with him. So Nadia, we want to thank you for your time today and sharing your story and your heart for worship. And with that, we'd love to pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to worship. God, that you made a way for us through Jesus to be in right relationship, God, and you invite us to worship you and to delight in you. And so, God, I pray for every listener out there, God, as we deal with all the distractions of the world and all the things that are vying for our time and attention, God, that we would make room for Jesus and that we would worship you genuinely in spirit and in truth, and that through that we might be blessed because we've spent time worshiping the King. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanaCuckPodcast.com. And for more information about CanaCuck, you can visit Kanakuk.com.